Welcome to the Outreach.fm podcast.
Your beacon of light in a world that can sometimes feel a bit too chaotic. Remember, no matter how turbulent things may seem, God's unwavering presence is always guiding us. In search of a fresh perspective, eager for a new spark of joy. Well, you're in the right place. This is Outreach.fm, your source for the uplifting and timeless message of Jesus Christ, a message that resonates as strongly today as it ever has. We're broadcasting straight from the heart, here in the Upper Room Studios, sending a wave of positive energy and faith across the globe. Are you prepared for a journey of inspiration and hope? Then let's dive in. Welcome to Outreach.fm. And now, we bring you a voice of wisdom and compassion, Pastor William Luffman.
We're going to read some verses. I decided we'll just read a few verses. I'll try not to make much commentary. I'll let them kind of explain themselves. But go to Proverbs. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get wisdom. Knowledge is not enough. A lot of people have knowledge, but they don't know how to use it. Wisdom is knowing how to use what you know. Just a very simple, kind of definition, but it really is that. So we're going to go to the book of wisdom. That's what Proverbs is. Father, we thank the word we're about to receive. We receive it in gladness. In Jesus' name, all God's people shouted. Let's make sure we say it again, okay? Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He that handles a matter wisely, we just talked about it, shall find good, and whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So if you trust in the Lord, guess what happens? Happy is he. Amen. All right. And we're just going to read some verses. Go to chapter 22. I just want to give you some things to just read. Verse 20. I could read a lot of stuff here. We'll just go to verse 19. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to you this day, even to you. That your trust may be in the Lord. And again, the thing about Abraham that we need to understand, one of the few times that belief and trust were synonymous in the Bible, they meant the same thing, was when the Bible says that Abraham believed the Lord and it was accounted unto him unto righteousness. That word believe, there's also the word trust. But I want you to, this is what's really critical about a word church. We are a word church. What does that mean? It means we really believe the Bible. We believe that it's all true. We don't get to cut parts out. We don't get to live life a different way just because we feel it and we think it's okay. We go by the Bible. Amen. But when you're in a word church and we put so much emphasis on the word, which we do, what we don't and what I know God doesn't want us to do, and I don't want you to do as a pastor, here's what Abraham didn't just believe in what God said or trust in what God said. He trusted in God. We sang the song tonight. I trust in God, my Savior, right? I trust in God, my Savior. Now, I trust his word, and I have to trust his word above anybody else's word. I trust what God says. But we have to have this thing where we trust in God. We trust in God. There are going to be times where you don't know the verse or you don't have the verse or you can't even find the verse for your life, but you know I can trust in God. I don't know where it says it, but I do know this. I know I can trust God. Amen? All right, now let's go to chapter 28 and let's go down and look at verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. So it's interesting in the Bible how often you see a connection between pride and strife. Are you hearing me? You see it all over the Bible. Someone who has a lot of pride, that doesn't just mean that they're proud of their son or they're proud of their daughter. You know what I'm saying? Where they think they're it. They got a lot of self thing going on there. A lot of times in the Bible, you'll see a connection between pride and strife. Amen? So you don't want to be that way. Amen. But notice why he says, he is of a proud heart, stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now, some of us really have taken that literally, which is okay. Amen. But what does it mean? It says if you put your trust in the Lord, see, someone that's proud is puffed up. They've made themselves fat, meaning they make themselves known. They make themselves out to be big. You know, I'm a big person. But the Lord says, but if you put your trust in the Lord, He'll make you fat. He'll make you big. He'll make you, you know, important, if you want to use that word. He'll make you valuable. Amen. If you put your trust in the Lord, God can find you wherever you are. Even when other people can't find you or don't care to find you, God can find you. When I was in that little squirrel house church, that first church that we pastored, not this church, it was before we started this church, when Pastor Ginger and I got married in 82, and we were in that church for about 3 years, and we were trying our best to pastor that little church. When I would go down there and pray, which was every day, when I got off, it was every day. I mean, I was still in my pant clothes. I'd come in, say hello to Granny, hug the kids that had gotten in from school because we had our kids then. And I would head down to that church. And in the natural, it looked like nobody on planet Earth was aware that I was down there at that church, except for maybe Granny and Ginger and my kids. And in the natural, that was probably true. Nobody knew I was there. Nobody cared that I was there. It didn't seem like it was, you know, I mean, the church, it was the same every time I went in. It was an old, beat up, musky building in a dingy place. And it didn't seem like anything significant was happening. But when I went there, because I was praying and I was trusting God, I was crying out to God and believing and trusting and putting my faith in God. In the middle of that, God was building something. If you'll put your trust in the Lord, God will build some things around your life. Now, hear this word. The more you trust God, the more He'll trust you. He'll trust you. The more you genuinely trust in God, He will begin to trust in you. And He'll trust you with more and more and more. Again, that's why the scriptures tell us, you know, if you're faithful over a few things, they see faithful is also part of that trio of trust, believe, faith, all that. If you're faithful over a few things, said He'll make you ruler over much. This scripture says here, he that's of a proud heart stirs up strife. This person that, you know, is always about himself. But he that puts his trust in the Lord will make him fat. The Lord will begin to trust him with some stuff. Amen. You increase your trust in God, God will increase His trust in your life. And He'll release some things into your life. Can you shout amen? Amen. All right, let's read just a couple more. Are you okay? Let's look at the next verse. He that trusts in his own heart, verse 26, is a fool. But whosoever walks wisely, he shall be delivered. So trust it in your own heart. Now, there's a difference in having confidence in what you can do and having full reliance on yourself. You understand what I'm saying? It's okay having confidence away, but having full reliance. I don't trust myself except to a certain point. Because I know I'm a limited individual and I know I have limitations, and therefore I know that there's going to come a time I better trust in God here. You can only push things so far. You can only make so much happen. You can only lay so much track. And one day you've laid as much track as you can, and you're going to have to trust God that He's going to make more track for you. Amen? Chapter 29, Proverbs, you're right there at it. Next chapter. Verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare. But whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. How about that scripture? So we talked about how fear will work against trust. And fear will cause you to trust in the wrong things. Remember we said that. Where you're trusting in the wrong things. And so this scripture is pretty pretty clear. The fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, it doesn't mean you won't be in a storm. Doesn't mean you won't have an opportunity to fear. Doesn't mean there won't be things around you that are look very ominous. But it just means if you'll just keep your trust in the Lord, you're going to be safe. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Now, but notice what I said. It didn't say 1,000 will fall somewhere else, 10,000. So, no, it said at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It'll be right there, but it will not come near you. Amen? Brother Hagin used to say, and I believe he's right, and I know we've mentioned it before, that if we all could see into the Spirit clearly, we would probably be fearful because of all the stuff going on around us that we can't see that God's shielding us from. We'd probably panic. That's probably the best word. Thank God we don't see all that. Amen? All right, one more. Chapter 30. Let's look at verse 5. Because we talked about the importance of the word. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So I like that. He says he's a shield to us. Every word of God is pure. And he's a shield to those that put their trust in him. Well, you don't need a shield if you're not being shot at. So again, the inference is there may be some times, but if you put your trust in the Lord, he becomes a shield. Amen? Now, let's go over to 1 Timothy. And I want to deal with a few verses here that we have most assuredly looked at some point. But we'll look at them again. You know, I said earlier tonight, now, to someone else, I said, you know, this church is going on 35 years old. You know, this year is our 35th anniversary in August as a church, 35 years old. And Pastor Ginger and I have been here the whole time. And that's a really good thing. But it means two things. Number one, I've got to make sure that I don't ever get bored by being here as long as I've been here. I have to make sure I stay fresh before God and I stay excited about what I'm doing, that I don't get complacent and just kind of, you know, just go through the motions, right? And you also have that same thing. Because you've heard me preach, you know, all these, some of you hundreds and some of you thousands of sermons on just about every subject. And when you hear that I'm going to preach on a subject again, it's imperative for you to go, praise God, hallelujah, woo! God's going to breathe through, pastor, something for me, and man, oh man. Right? And that's just the way it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money. Everyone say the love. Okay. So let's always remember that. Don't get into the misquoting of money's the root of all evil, because it's not. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, you know, coveted after. When you start to covet for something, you're wanting what you have and what they have and what that one has. And what do I have to do to get what they have? What do I have to do to get that? Are you hearing? They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man, woman of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, there's something in this verse, if we look at it a little bit closely here, we might find something. He's literally saying, if you ever get to the point where you fall in love with money, you have just taken faith, the equation of faith, off the table, and now only your love for money and your pursuit of it is all you're not going to get anything supernatural now. You cut faith off. You hear what I'm saying? When you fall in love with money, you're taking the supernatural ability of God to bless you with money off the table now, because you've fallen in love with money, which he never wanted you to do. Do you see that now? And it says by doing that, you've erred. says you literally have erred from the faith. Isn't that interesting? We kind of run through that scripture a little bit faster than we should. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. And he's saying that, you know, where it comes with even the subject of money, keep in faith. Because God knows how to get you some money. God knows how to give you a better business deal, a better opportunity, put you in the right place, put you with the right people. You don't have to fall in love with money to have money. Keep fighting the good fight of faith, it says. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto you are called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give this charge to you in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. That is the only time that word appears in the Bible. Unrebukable. You never fall into that pit of falling in love with money and trying to, but you keep your faith towards God at all times. And you keep your profession right. So when you stand before men, they have a hard time finding a way to accuse you because you have not done really, you know, really done nothing. You've been a good witness. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this have to do with trust? Stay with me. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only has immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now here you go. Charge them that are rich in this world. Now if you already have money, if you're blessed, if you happen to be somebody, because Paul knew that he was preaching to some people that already in that crowd, they were already rich. Some of them were already affluent. Some of them probably got it the wrong way even. But he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Here you go. Listen to this. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, listen to this, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So he said, be careful that even if you have money, that you don't trust in money. Be careful that you don't trust in it. You might have it, but don't trust in it. Make sure that you don't ever start thinking, you know, we got it made. We got so much in the bank. It's all great. We don't have any worries. We don't have any problems. Man, I tell you what, we got all this money. But he said, don't ever start, because that's called uncertain riches. There were people in the early 20s in America that made lots and lots and lots of money, and they were so assured of their life, and they were so affluent, and then this thing called the stock market completely broke and collapsed. And within a matter of weeks, some of the richest people in America, this is historically true, started jumping out of buildings and committing suicide because they had put their trust in uncertain riches. Are you hearing me? Amen. He even tells you here how to help keep yourself in balance with money in verse 18, that they do good, that they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute. So make sure if you are blessed and you are prosperous, you're not just stacking it up, because that way I got it if I need it. Make sure that you never stop giving. That's how you can ward off the love of money. That's how you can be sure that money never takes over your mind. It'll take over your mind first, then it'll take over your heart. But the way you can always counter that is always be a giver. Constantly being a giver. And I'm not trying to say just more for the church or more tithes and offerings for the church, but just your life, in life in general, that you are just a giver. You are generous. Nothing wrong with having money in the bank. Nothing wrong with having retirement. Nothing wrong with having, but you don't put your trust there. And the way you make sure you don't is every now and then you shake that bank a little bit and you maybe break that piggy bank and say, we're not just going to keep that in there. We're going to give some of that away. Because I want to make sure I'm in faith towards God and trusting God for my money. I'm trusting God that he's going to take care of my family. Can you shout amen? I wrote this down. We cannot trust in what we can produce. So you can't trust, and when we're saying this, we're saying in a larger sense, like entirely. We could use the word entirely. You have to trust to a degree. But you cannot trust in what you can produce, because there may come a time you can't produce it. And there's already a limit on what that is anyway. So you have your choice. I'll just live my life with as much as I can produce, and I'll be wild. I'm really smart, and I'll make a lot of money, and I'll work another job, and I'll pile it up, and I'll put it in places where it'll get interest, and I'll just get richer and richer and richer and richer and richer and richer and richer, and one day it won't be enough. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Our faith then, we read this now, twice faith was introduced in this passage in verses 10 and 12. Our faith is ineffective if we trust only in what we can produce. It nullifies our faith. It takes faith off the table. I said it early when we started reading this passage, but it takes faith off the table now. And we're back to our abilities. We're back to our ingenuity. We're back to our expertise. We're back to us. Amen? So we don't want to get caught in that trap. We want to make sure that our trust is ultimately in God. Lord, I'll do the things I'm supposed to do. I'll work hard. I'll save some. Yeah, but Lord, I am not going to try to think about if I can save X amount of dollars, we'll be good for, you know, our last 15 years. I got to make sure I save X amount. I'll do my best. I'll put some aside. But Lord, I'm not going to worry about it, because I'm going to trust in you, and you're going to help take care of us. Amen. Can you shout amen?
Amen?
2 Corinthians, just go back a few books there, not too far back. You're right there in the New Testament. I send these scriptures out all the time to people that, we were not going to read the ones I'm mentioning at the moment. If they go through a loss in their family, a death in their family, something like that. So, by the way, these are good verses just to help you, to help people. You need to go send them 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses about 3 through 7, that talks about, you know, how the Lord's comforted us, and he gives us the ability to comfort people who are in any kind of trouble or affliction. And that's a good set of verses to send to someone who's had a family member die. And if you put it over in the Amplified Classic, it's even better. It's a little clearer. It's not quite as, you know, Elizabethan as that. But those are good verses. But we're not going to go there. We're going to start at the end of those verses. And let's look at verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. This is Paul speaking about his missionary travels, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He said, you know, there were times I thought we were going to die. He said, we were in some really desperate times. And he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, you know, I had a lot of pressure. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raised the dead. He said it got really desperate. It looked like we might die. And we said, you know what? We serve the God that raises the dead. So we're not going to panic. We were in a terrible moment. It looked desperate. Times got really dark. I mean, death was all around us. Other people probably have died in this situation that we were in. But we decided we're not going to panic. We're going to trust in God, because he will raise the dead. See, Abraham said that he believed God to the point, and we will bring hope into this equation, you know, that he hoped against hope that even if he went ahead and were to slay, you know, Isaiah, that he already in a figure, he'd already decided God would raise him from the dead. Well, that's a lot of trust. That's trusting in the Lord right there, amen?
Amen.
Trusting in the Lord. Who delivered us, verse 10, from so great a death. And does deliver. Everybody say, he does deliver.
He does deliver.
In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So he said, we trusted him at that time. We were in a death situation, and he got us through because we trusted in him. And we know we can trust him right now. And we know that we can yet trust him. If anything else comes along, we know how to deal with it. We'll just trust in the Lord. How many of you can see that?
Yeah.
So he's trying to teach us a little bit here about that. I read this and it was really cool. A documentary about the Winter Olympics featured, listen to this, blind skiers. Now, how many of you have ever skied? I haven't, but how many of you have? Okay, so now if you've skied, I don't know if you were in like really, if you were in like the beginner slope or you, how many of you skied where there were trees? Okay, so how many of you know that if you don't really know what you're doing or if you don't watch what you're doing, you could die? And there's a documentary about these Olympians who were blind skiers. True story, listen to this. And they were being trained for the slalom skiing. And now just think about that. Now how did they do this? They paired them with sighted skiers. The blind skiers were taught on the flats how to make right and left turns. When that was mastered, they were taken to the slalom slope where their sighted partners skied beside them shouting, "Left! Right!" As they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and cross the finish line. Think about that. They can't see. They're blind. They're going down the slope. There are trees. They could die. But it talked about how this documentary, they actually showed them, and they literally got all the way down safely to the bottom because they could not see, but they trusted someone who had sight. Anybody catching anything now? I can't see the future. You can't see the future. But we have a God that can see. He said, "All I'm asking you to do is walk by faith and not by sight. Because I'll tell you when to go left and I'll tell you when to go right. I'll tell you when to stop and I'll tell you when to go." What if God's people had that much trust in the Lord? Imagine this was an impossible feat for them to do until they trusted in someone who had sight. There are some impossible things God wants all of us to do. We'll never do them if we don't put all of our trust in Him. Because we'll get caught up, "Oh, I better not. We'll get caught up in our surroundings. We'll get caught up in our feelings. We'll get caught up in our senses. And we won't even either try or we'll do it our way and then we'll crash. Which we did and have done. Amen? But what if? What if? Left! Right! Everybody say left!
Left.
Right!
Right.
Left.
Left!
Right!
Left!
Left. Right. Some of you think you're back in the army. About face. I was never in the military, so I can't speak from experience. I can only go by stories that some of you've told me. I don't know that it's that way now because we're soft in every phase of we've softened society. But am I incorrect that you, did any of you ever get told when you went to boot camp that somehow, and you had to believe it even though it didn't look like it, that the person standing before you was your mama and your daddy? And it was only one person. How many of you ever heard that? You know, and you had to trust them. Okay, you don't look like my mom, but okay. My dad, you know. Can you see now how trust can cause you to be able to do things that you cannot do without it? I'm convinced of this. I'm fully convinced of this, that all Christians are living below where God wants us to be, and partly because we haven't fully trusted in the Lord. We've trusted to a degree. Can you say amen? Now, think about the times, let's flip that coin. Think about the times you have trusted in God when it didn't make sense, when it was a little beyond your ability and capacity, and think about how many times you've had big things happen for you. How many of you ever had that? Where you knew you trusted in God. It didn't make sense, but you trusted in God and something amazing happened. Which proves the point. But if we would do that on a more consistent basis. Amen. When we moved in downtown into the old police building from the paint and body shop, $1,500 a month may not seem like much. Most of us now that own our own home are probably paying that and much more for a mortgage. And some of you renting apartments are paying that. The first house I lived in after I got married, the rent was $75 a month. $75, not $750. $75. It was a roach place, but still. The roof didn't leak. There was heat in the place. I painted all the walls. $1,500 a month. And we had $4,200 in our entire this church, Faith Outreach Church, all of our money in the world was $4,200 that we had saved up over a year and a half. And once a month, we used to have this thing. You guys have never seen it, but we had this thing where we called it change offering. And people would bring their change in once a month and would pour it in, and that would be part of our building fund. And you know, we only have 15, 18, 20 people coming, but still, over time, it's $4,200. We took on a building that was $1,500 a month for the lease payment. Probably, we didn't know how much, probably $1,200 or more to $1,500 for utilities, because it was a big old drafty old building. And then you got to figure, you know, you got to have some supplies. We did need a telephone, which we did have. So, I mean, we're going in there. We've got enough maybe to make it the first month. But the Lord told us, that's the building. The Lord told me just as clear as anything I've ever heard when I walked in on that cold November night and the ceiling tiles were falling on my head and there was water in the floor. He said, "This is your building." And I said, "Thanks a lot." And the man who agreed, had owned the building, agreed to give us a couple of weeks to get in and do some stuff, and not we didn't have to pay. No deposits. Thank God for that. He worked with us a little. We took that $4,200 and we spent it because we had to fix the ceiling. We had to paint the walls. We put in some carpet. This is not the best carpet here. We on purpose because we have to replace it all the time. But it was like the cheapest of the cheapest of the cheapest carpets. And we put some in the sanctuary and we painted up a bunch of stuff. And by the day that we started the church downtown, we had $0. No money. But God said, "Do it." Are you listening to me? The Lord said this. This is your move it. Go for it. We moved in, left, right, left, right, left, right, you know, left, right, you know. And the first service in that old building, we had 103 people, which was an all-time record by far. And God began to move, and we never sweated the money the whole time we were there. We never sweated the bills. And by the time we got into the mid-90s, we were already putting money aside to buy land, and eventually we bought this land. Amen. We bought this land on a 10-year option, and we paid it off in a year and a half. By the time we moved out here and built this building, this land was already paid for. Left, right, left, right, left. Right. Can you say amen? Now, if we'd have had, and there, God bless sweet, dear, wonderful church members, but if we'd have had church members telling us what to do, we wouldn't have done anything. Because there would have been some going, oh, we can't do that. Pastor, that's a crazy move. I'm just going to tell you, I'm a businessman here, and you don't do that kind of thing. You have to make sure that you have plenty of capital, and you have it in the bank, and then you have to make sure that you've done it. And they would have. And when they pushed that building over 20 years ago, we'd have been in there while they were pushing it over. And then the Lord said, build these buildings. Oh, my goodness. You know, by the time we built the second building, $25,000 a month for lease payment? Are you kidding me? 10,000, right now, $10,000 to $15,000 a month for the utilities. The buildings are paid for, but the utilities now have gone up again. And then there's interest. And then there's all kinds of stuff that just constantly. But you know what? Left, right, left, right, left, right. And I know pastors and preachers that are in denominational circles that have denominations behind them that have been in their buildings 25 years that aren't even half paid for. Not judging them. That's not a judgment against them. But I'm just saying, don't trust in riches, money, trust in God. And you'll wind up doing things that absolutely make no sense. How did you do it? We trusted the Lord. God brought it through people, through moments, through our sowing. You know, we just got our personal giving record here a few days ago, and I was like, praise God. Hallelujah. Because we give heavily to this church because we believe in this church. We believe in what we're doing here. I mean, you know. But then I looked at what the church had given. I was like, dear Lord, we gave out hundreds of thousands of dollars. We blessed a lot of people last year. Trust in the Lord. Man, you ain't going to put that money in the bank. Uh-huh. I'm not doing that. I'm trusting in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I wanted to read this little thing to you too, because we're going to close here just a little bit. Let me read this. I don't know if you knew the history of why banks invented checks. About 200 years ago, banks invented checks, not for people, but for banks. So if a bank wanted to send money to another bank, rather than risk sending the money, which was very risky in those days, you know, across the plains or wherever, they could come up with something that would represent the money without the risk of sending it and it getting stolen. So that's how they invented the checks. And then over time, they said, well, you know, we got some people, though, and they're getting robbed because they come in, they've got money all the time. So why don't we allow them to start writing checks so that they can have their money without have some security and not have to have it on them all the time. So that's the way that the check writing business came about. And, you know, they said that's how they came up with that. And they said, because the bank will cover your, as long as you got the money over here in this bank, if you take it over here, they'll make contact. Oh, yeah, they will cash your check. I mean, you know, that's true. That's where the phrase is, you can take it to the bank. So when we say that our God will heal us, you can take it to the bank. When we say our God is a Savior, you can take it to the bank. When we say our God will meet our need, you can take it to the bank because it's already in the bank. He's already paid for it. It's already there. Everybody say, I can take it to the bank. That's where that phrase came from. You know, we come up with these little phrases. Wonder how that got started. Well, that's how that got started. I read that and I thought, that's really interesting. And it really comes back to our message on trusting in the Lord. Amen? All right, I'm going to try to think about fixing to get ready to start closing. Let me go back and use this word that we use in maybe the first or second session since we're closing out this series for this time. The word again amen, which we talked about in the Bible, Jesus would say, verily, verily, meaning amen, amen. I gave you some of the definitions for that word. It's A-M-A-N, literally, in the Greek. But it means to be, to stand fast or to be fixed in one spot. And I gave you this, to me, this was the best definition of the word amen. It means to come to a conclusion without any further discussion. When you say amen, that's it. But I know, sorry. I've already said amen. Did you know? I've already said amen. How many of you had your parents say, excuse me, I've already told you. But mom, no, it's settled. You know, the Bible says let your yes be yes. What we've got to learn to do then is say amen to the amen. He says, I'm going to protect you, amen. I'm going to heal you, amen. I'm going to provide for you, amen. No further discussion. That's how you know you're trusting in God, because discussion is off the table. This is closed now. I've already, my trust is now in the Lord. In a legal courtroom, they would say, I'm resting the case. That's it. I put everything out and I'm resting. There's no more discussion. There's no more witnesses to be called. There's no more evidence to be given. I'm resting. And us, we need to learn. The Bible talks about we need to learn to enter into his rest. If you are in turmoil, you're not trusting God. If you're still agitated, you're not trusting in God yet. You're still trying to figure out how you can fix it, how it'll change, how you can get, if I can get that to happen, if they call, if she'll get that, if her letter gets over there, if I get that promotion. Amen. So you say, amen. No further discussion is needed. Right? All right, what time we have? We need to close, man. 8 o'clock, the preacher got to preaching. He won't even quit. All right, let's write this down. Number one, God gives us help when we trust him in the battle. We're all going to have them. 1 Chronicles 5:20. God helps us when we trust in the battle. Number two, trusting in God keeps us from being ashamed, meaning he will eventually work it out. If you've had shame in your life, God will work things out. Psalm 34:22, trusting God keeps us in a place as God's dependent. Now, I can either be my own dependent. You know, on your income tax, they say, how many dependents do you have? And, of course, you're hoping that number's 25 when you're filling out your taxes. But you can only count the ones in your house. I can't count my dogs. I wish they'd let me put them in there because God knows they cost me a bunch. But, right? But trusting God keeps us in a place where we are his dependent. Yes. Trusting God, number four, causes your life to be productive. Psalm 52:8, you can look up these scriptures at another time. Psalm 37:3-5 is the one before, by the way. The next one, trusting God neutralizes fear. We've talked a lot about that in this series. Trusting God will neutralize fear. That's Psalms 56:3-4. The next one, God's divine protection comes from trusting him. We've talked a lot about that, and I even mentioned Psalm 91, and that would be Psalm 91:2-4. And then number seven, trusting God brings stability to your life. It causes everything to become stable that's unstable. Can you say amen? I'll read you this last little article that I read, and that I promise you will stand. A few years ago, an article in a paper had this headline, Plane with a Mind of Its Own Crashes. This is what happened. A man named Paul Sirks watched helplessly as his single-engine vintage plane took off by itself, flew for 2 hours, and crashed into a bean field 90 miles away in Ohio. Here's what happened. Sirks had landed the 1946 Ironca Champ airplane at an airport because of mechanical problems. The plane's engine stalled on the runway, and Sirks got out to restart it by hand. Remember how they used to start them by hand? By hand turning the propeller. Once the engine started, the empty plane took off away from Sirks. nearly hitting another plane, and took off. Furthermore, the plane was trimmed for landing, which means the nose was trimmed up, so it started climbing. The two-seater plane climbed about 2,000 feet and circled the air for about 5 minutes before heading northeast until reaching a height of 12,000 feet. That's a lot for that little plane. Until it ran out of fuel and crashed in northeastern Ohio. Now, what am I saying? That's what happens to us if we try to pilot our lives rather than trusting God to help pilot our lives and get us to where we need to be. Can you shout amen? Everybody say left, right, left, right, left, right.
Thank you for joining us on the Outreach.fm podcast with Pastor William Luffman. We trust that today's conversation has offered you valuable insights and perspectives. And as we part ways, remember to stay engaged with our community online. Visit faithoutreach.org for more resources and join our live stream at livestreamchurch.com. This is Outreach.fm. And remember, no matter what the weather may seem like in your life, the sun's gonna shine again.